Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. It seems that Neanderthals travelled more than was first thought, and an ancient city is unearthed in India. A major Anglesey development plan is to include a prehistoric burial chamber. Remains held in UK museums are to be tested for tuberculosis, and a student makes discoveries on Neanderthal eating habits. The enigmatic Gungiwump monument in America is investigated, and there's a High Court action to protect the Lismullen Henge in the continuing saga of Tara. An altar for a deity predating Zeus is uncovered in Greece, and the city of Bath puts its clock back 10,000 years with Mesolithic discoveries. And finally, we have a fascinating discovery about the Syrian Bronze Age. Analysis of a 40,000-year-old tooth found in southern Greece suggests that Neanderthals were more mobile than was once thought. Analysis of the tooth, the only remains found in Greece, showed that the Neanderthal had spent at least part of his life away from the area where he died. Paleoanthropologist Katrina Harvati at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig said that mobility is highly controversial, with some experts believing that Neanderthals roamed over very limited areas, but others say that they must have been much more mobile, particularly when hunting. Until now, experts only had indirect evidence, including stone used in tools. However, this analysis is the first that brings evidence from a Neanderthal fossil itself. The findings by the Max Planck Institute team were published in the Journal of Archaeological Science. The tooth was found in a seaside excavation in Greece's southern Peloponnese region in 2002. The team analysed tooth enamel for ratios of a strontium isotope, a naturally occurring metal found in food and water. Levels of the metal vary in different areas, and the levels of strontium showed that this Neanderthal grew up at least 20 kilometres from the discovery site. "We're talking about humans, not trees," said one expert, "so it would be hardly surprising if they did not move around." I have to say that 20 kilometres is like a good walk for me, so I'm not surprised at all. Remains of an ancient city believed to be around 2,500 years old have been unearthed by archaeologists at Shish Up Algar in India. The remains at the site, including 18 pillars, came to light during new research work undertaken by archaeologists, including team members from the University of California and Deccan College, Pune. The remnants suggest that the city, with four gateways, had a population of 20 to 25,000 inhabitants, while at the same time classical Athens housed only 10,000 people. The archaeologists came out with new features on urban life of the people of the ancient period in the course of surface excavation at the fortified site. That was the first discovered in 1948. The pillars discovered during the research and excavation work were part of a gigantic structure, just showing how important the ancient city was. Plans for a shopping and leisure complex on Anglesey in Wales are going on public display for the first time. The development on land between Llanfairwyl and Menai Bridge would potentially offer 1,500 jobs in shops, restaurants and a multiplex cinema. Objectors claim the plans would have a detrimental effect on the environment and will not benefit the island as a whole. The development will cover 55 acres, some 600 metres from the Britannia Bridge. A spokesman for the developers in its Maughan Estates said the park had been designed to complement its natural surroundings. There were also plans to set aside part of the site close to the Bluebell Wood and Burial Chamber as an interpretive centre. The public displays would provide an opportunity for the company to explain more about the development and receive feedback directly from the community. Skeletons which have been dug up in Portsmouth in Hampshire, England, during developments, some dating back to the Bronze Age, will now form a vital part of new research into tuberculosis. Academics from Durham and Manchester universities have asked permission to remove fragments of bone and teeth to analyse as part of their research project into how tuberculosis evolved through the ages. The remains of two ancient city dwellers, one which is known to have suffered TB and one which did not, will be studied. It's hoped their discoveries will lead to the formulation of new drugs to combat the disease, which is currently on the increase. Other councils which own human remains have already agreed for this research to take place, and Watchdog English Heritage has told Portsmouth City Council it is happy to permit the sampling for this research request. Jennifer Macy, Museums Collections Assistant at Portsmouth City Council, said that the potential benefits of the research will be a greater understanding of the evolution of tuberculosis in Britain and Europe, possibly being able to identify whether particular strains of TB have always occurred in certain regions or whether they are due to modern factors. A doctoral student studying hominid paleobiology has pioneered a method for analysing reindeer bones from around 65,000 years to 12,000 years ago, an accomplishment which now allows scientists to further understand the eating habits of early humans. J. Tyler Faith analysed bones from the Grotte 16 archaeological site in southern France in order to better understand the relationship between early humans and animals and how this was affected by changes in the environment. Faith's new findings helped to understand the differences between Neanderthals and modern man. He said that differences in hunting behaviour cannot explain why Neanderthals dropped out of existence between 40 and 50,000 years ago. Variation in the types of animals hunted and the parts of those animals which were exploited and processed by humans and Neanderthal occupants can be explained largely by environmental change rather than behavioural or technological differences. Gungiwump is a 100-acre area in Groton in Connecticut, USA, that archaeologists consider a national treasure. I do love phrases like national treasure. Its exact origins remain a mystery, but its unusual stonework and artefacts span centuries. Among Gungiwump's features are stone chambers that researchers believe were colonial-era root cellars or animal birthing shelters erected by English-Scottish immigrants. Of these, two are still fully intact. One indeed contains a solar calendar. During the spring and autumn equinox, the sun shines through an opening in the west wall and lights the opposite wall, which reflects some light into the smaller interior beehive-shaped chamber. Solar timetables helped farmers decide when to plant and harvest crops, or to avoid crop freeze in the winter and crop rot in the summer. Archaeologists have found no evidence to support the popular theory that medieval Celtic monks built the chambers. Still, the lack of artefacts in these chambers leaves room for speculation. Some stones also contain carved letters that may have been surveyor or boundary marks. Archaeologists have uncovered pottery shards and crude stone flakes used to make arrowheads dated from around 2000 BCE to 700 BCE. Some say the ancient Native Americans used the area and built the structures for religious ceremonies prior to the colonial era. Gungiwump is all on private property. The researchers include members of the Gungiwump Society, an education and research group dedicated to preserving Gungiwump and other archaeological sites in Connecticut. More information on this can be found at www.gungiwump.com. I'll spell that one for you, though. It's GUNGYWAMP. And apologies if I've mispronounced that horribly wrong. I seem to be quite good at that. A High Court action was launched aiming at protecting the Lismoolint National Monument near Tara in County Meath in Ireland. The action is being taken by Gordon Lucas, who is seeking to enforce EU directives on national monuments. He's seeking an injunction and a declaration that the National Monuments Act 2004 is in breach of EU law. Lismoolint was declared one of the top 10 most important archaeological discoveries in 2007 by Archaeology magazine, published by the Archaeological Institute of America. The Hill of Tara has also been placed on the 2008 list of 100 most endangered sites by the World Monuments Fund. Last year, archaeologists working on the route of the motorway stumbled on a vast Iron Age ceremonial enclosure, or henge, surrounded by two enormous walls. The 2,000-year-old site is about 2 kilometres from the Hill of Tara. Before Zeus hurled his first thunderbolt from Olympus, the pre-Greek people occupying the land presumably paid homage and offered sacrifices to their own gods and goddesses, whose nature and identities are unknown to scholars today. But archaeologists say they've now found the ashes, bones and other evidence of animal sacrifices to some pre-Zeus deity on the summit of Mount Lycaon in the region of Greece known as Arcadia. The remains were uncovered last summer at an altar later devoted to Zeus. Fragments of a coarse, undecorated pottery in the debris indicated that the sacrifices might have been made as early as 3000 BCE. That was around 900 years before Greek-speaking people arrived, probably from the Balkans, and brought their own religion with them. After reviewing the findings of pottery, experts, geologists, and other archaeologists, David Gilman Romano of the University of Pennsylvania concluded that the material at the altar suggests that the tradition of devotion to some divinity on that spot is indeed very ancient, and very likely predates the introduction of Zeus to the Greek world. Other archaeologists familiar with the discovery tend to agree with Dr. Romano's interpretation, though they said that continuing excavations this summer and the next one should reach a more definitive understanding of the altar's possible pre-Greek use. Little is known of the pre-Greek inhabitants, but some scholars think that they originated it in what is now Western Turkey. Archaeologists admitted that new chapters of the history of Bath in Somerset, England would have to be written after amazing discoveries were made while a new sewer was being dug. At the very depths of the site of the new shopping centre in the heart of the ancient city, archaeologists found new evidence that extends a history of the city thousands of years further back in time. The archaeologists found the first evidence of human activity near the banks of the River Avon dating back to 8000 BCE, even before the idea of farming had reached the British Isles. The first inhabitants of Bath were hunter-gatherers, following herds of deer and other game along the river valley, and were probably attracted to the hot springs and the plentiful fish in the River Avon. On that spot, where people would later settle and use the hot springs, they made tools, fished, and left scraps of archaeological evidence. This was according to the Bath and North East Somerset archaeologist Richard Sermon. It's been more than 30 years since Italian archaeologists found a vast archive of 17,000 cuneiform tablets at the Bronze Age site of Ebla in northern Syria, where the ancient city is still surprising those who work there. Last year, archaeologist Paolo Matteo's team discovered two almost perfectly preserved figurines that confirmed textual evidence for a royal cult of the dead focused on the city's queens. They also found an unusual tablet that allowed scholars to reconstruct the political climate that led to Ebla's destruction in 2300 BCE, when it was sacked by Sargon of Akkad. Both figurines are intricate representations of women, which are rare in Near Eastern Bronze Age art. One made of steatite and wood is depicted with her arms arranged in a gesture indicating prayer. The second figurine holds a goblet and wears an ornate gold dress. Both seem to have been used in ritual mentioned in the tablets from Ebla that describes how the city's dead queens became female deities who were then worshipped privately by their successors. In the same area, Matteo found a cuneiform tablet which accounted for weapons distributed from Ebla to allied cities during a war sometime before 2300 BCE. The military campaign the tablet mentions is possibly the one that Ebla waged against the state of Mari. Records indicate that Ebla defeated Mari, its great commercial and political rival, just before it in turn was destroyed. Matteo thinks Ebla's military aggression alarmed the powerful states of southern Mesopotamia, such as Akkad, because soon after its conflict with Mari, Sargon launched his devastating campaign against the city. As they say, war. What is it good for? Will we ever learn? Well, whether we learn or not, I would like to remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK Heritage Calendar, Library and Guidance section, can be found on Badger, www.bajr.org. And of course, both myself and my sister company Past Horizons have our own blogs which keep you up to date with archaeology and archaeology opportunities around the world. If you go to Google and type in either BAJR blog or Past Horizons blog, you'll be able to find us there. And remember that more can always be found on the amazing Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to us, and we hope you'll return again next week.